Next Chapter Podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, my name is Michael Goodfriend. I'm the executive producer of the Play On podcast. And you know, all of the Play On podcast series begin with one person, and that is the translator of the Shakespeare play that we are creating the series out of. Everything begins with that person. I usually get in touch with that person. I say, hey, are you into this? Would you like to do it with us? Hopefully they say yes. And then we go from there. We build our team out from there. Play On commissioned all of these plays from 36 contemporary American playwrights, dramaturgs, scholars, people who are steeped in theater in some way. And Sean San Jose happens to be the translator of the Coriolanus series. He's an accomplished actor, director, theatrical producer, storyteller. He's based in the San Francisco area, where he is the artistic director of the very, very famous Magic Theater. He's also the co-founder of Camposanto, a group that has developed, produced, and premiered nearly 100 new works for and by people of color since 1996. Now, I'm honored to have Sean San Jose with me today to talk about Coriolanus and many other things that I'm sure we're going to get into. So, Sean, welcome.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Marco. Appreciate everything about this process, and I'm glad we get to have another chance to talk.
Likewise. I, you know, you and I hit it off right away from the start. I could feel the good vibe talking to you. Okay, look, today is the day that we launch Episode 7 of Coriolanus. That's the final episode of Coriolanus. By the time people hear this interview, they'll have had a chance to hear the whole thing. And maybe not coincidentally, it's the day that we heard the verdict of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, that's a horrifically great place to jump off, you know, for the piece. Just to give a little overview of it, you know, I really think the piece starts, you know, we definitely gonna get into this vile shit with Kyle Rittenhouse for sure. But in terms of the process of Coriolanus, it really start for me, the one person is Louis Douthat, who conceived of the project for Play On, which, you know, I say that to say she is the one that brought these playwrights to Shakespeare. And this is someone that's worked most notably in Shakespeare and in new plays. And so I think one of the things that's most exciting about the process, any process with the play and with the pieces, is that it really, for me, is the only time I've experienced Shakespeare and the new playmaking process simultaneously, so that you can be a new play creator, which is really much more about more immediately reflecting the world that you live in. And yet with this process, we have, you know, all the gifts of the Shakespeare story, language, characters, conflict, etc. So when Louis had asked, you know, said, I'm cooking up this new thing, I've had the pleasure of only doing new work. And so I happened to be up in the bucolic town of Ashland, Oregon, as you know well, Michael. Looking around the four streets there, and we found one of the streets. I'm a city mouse, so I went crazy about after day 1.5 up there, as lovely as it is. And she was like, well, I'm cooking up this new thing. Would you be interested? And the only context I had is this, the amazing, you know, the Black Swan, the Brown Swan labs up there, the amazing labs that you know much better than I, mm-hmm. of the new playmaking process. So I was like, whatever it is, I'm in, I'm down. And then she was like, well, we're doing these Shakespeare things. I was like, where are we going with this conversation? What are you talking about? And at the time she hits, you know, I thought the idea was that it was going to be like adaptations of Shakespeare. And the company, I work with Camposanto, we work with a lot of things. And one of the things I like doing personally too is the idea of the loose or the larger idea of adaptation. So I was super right. I was like, that's great, cool. And then when it came down to it, it really was, bruh, you are it's a translation. And there were some very severe, not severe, well, for my little brain, it was severe, but there were some real tight sort of strictures. It was like, it's a direct one-to-one translation. There is no adapting, first of all. There is no cutting of characters, no changing of names, no cutting of dialogue. In other words, you can't be like, oh, that thing is like, don't make sense. Can we just move it or remove it? And so it wasn't that. So it took me quite a long time, but anyway, the thing that got me excited about it was that Louis was like, look, man, it's early on. You can pick any of the things that you want to pick. And I was like, well, I certainly don't want to work with any of the ones that are like, you know, the more classic joints, whether it would be the Romeo and Juliet or, you know, Othello or Julius Caesar or whatever. And so for some reason, I had asked her, I said, what about Coriolanus? And she was like, she was probably like, sucker. And
so this just came out, like Coriolanus just came out of the blue in that sense. She didn't come to you saying,
no,
hey, have you thought about Coriolanus?
No.
Let's be honest, Coriolanus, definitely not what you think of first when you think of Shakespeare, right?
Well, the funny thing is, Marco, because I'm not like you. I've never performed Shakespeare. I'm not versed in it. I could probably say that I'm not really an audience member for it. I don't. If I weren't in the world, like, oh, I'm gonna go see Michael and Nancy do their thing, and they happen to be doing Shakespeare. To be quite honest, that would be what would get me there, as opposed to, oh, there's a new version of Pericles. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a hater. I just, it doesn't resonate with me in an immediate way. So the reason Coriolanus, my ignorance sort of played into it in a certain regard, in that I was looking at more larger thematics of it. So I was like, well, what do I think this one is about? And in my head still, Michael, I was still thinking like I would approach any work. Like, how can I enter the world so it resonates with the world that I live in?
This is Michael Goodfriend, executive producer of the Play On podcast series. I hope you're enjoying this conversation with the creatives behind the scenes. To listen to the full interview, join the Play On supporting cast for just $5 a month, which by the time you hear this might be less than you'll pay for a gallon of gas. You'll get in-depth interviews featuring some of the most brilliant artists working today. You'll also enjoy ad-free episodes of the Play On podcast series. Subscribe today for $5 a month. Join the cast. Go to ncpodcast.com and sign up today. Thanks for listening.
Next Chapter Podcasts.